Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
The 21-year-old defender Josko Gvardiol is a young man in very high demand. Described as the best centre-back in the world by his international manager during Croatia's run to the World Cup semi-finals, the RB Leipzig masked defender is firmly in the sights of football's European giant. So, who is leading the race for his signature this summer? Who needs him most? And just how good is he? I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Athletic Football Podcast.
Another ball into the box, and this time they get the equaliser. Gvardiol was forward.
In Leipzig, they've been calling him the Erling Haaland of centre-backs, and I think they've got a generational talent on their hands.
I think that Bayern Munich hasn't paid those kind of fees for a defender ever in their history.
Realistically, how many players could they sign?
When we spoke to Biscan last year, he thought a move to the Premier League would be too early for Gvardiol right now.
Messi held up by Gvardiol. Messi away from Gvardiol. Argentina, all but in the final!
These two players are going to be the most talked about, or two of the most talked about for this summer window, for sure.
So with us for this one, The Athletic's Chelsea correspondent Simon Johnson and Paul Ballas, who covers La Liga and Barcelona and has also covered Manchester City for us. Before we talk to them both and really get into the race to sign him, let's just get a little context on this from our own Nick Miller.
If you cast your minds back to the World Cup, which admittedly feels like about a billion years ago now, you might remember Croatia's journey to the semi-finals. Or you might not, because it actually wasn't that memorable. They were only in the lead for 46 minutes in the five games up to that point, which they were able to get over because in those five games they only conceded three goals. And a big part of why their defence was so good was Josko Gvardiol. If Croatia coach Zlatko Dalic was trying to calm things down and temper the hype, he didn't do a particularly good job when he said, "Josko Gvardiol is the best centre-back in the world. To play this maturely, it's amazing." Gvardiol's rise was rapid. He hadn't made a senior professional appearance when Croatia played their previous semi-final in 2018. But after making his debut for Dinamo Zagreb as a 17-year-old, he was rapidly snapped up by RB Leipzig in 2020. And even from that early age, he seemed to be perfectly formed. He's the sort of player that you suspect that big clubs could grow in a lab. The perfect modern defender, big, strong, comfortable on the ball. Igor Biskan, who is the Croatia under-21s coach and who called up Gvardiol to his squad at a young age, said last year, "No matter the moment, he plays with such composure. It's very rare to find someone like that." There are obviously still a few flaws in his game. He does have the tendency to go in hard and quickly, which when it comes off looks decisive and proactive, but when it doesn't, can appear reckless. When we spoke to Biskan last year, he thought a move to the Premier League would be too early for Gvardiol right now. He thinks he could do with another year or so in the Bundesliga before he moves to the very top. But that timescale may be accelerated. Gvardiol could be playing for a big team near you very soon.
So The Athletic is reporting then this morning, that's Tuesday morning when we're recording this, that Real Madrid, Chelsea and Manchester City are leading this race. Will that come as a surprise, Simon, to Chelsea, who may have thought they already had this deal done?
Oh, I don't think it would come as a surprise to them in the sense that they know that Gvardiol is highly coveted by the biggest clubs in Europe. I think it would come perhaps as a surprise to Chelsea fans thinking, why are they still in for this guy in the centre-back is hardly a position they're struggling for. In fact, they're struggling to fit the ones they've got already in the side. But
do they see him as a centre forward, Simon?
Yeah, why not?
big roll, man up front. Roll, there we are.
Roll the dice.
It worked for Chris. Oh no, it didn't actually. Chelsea. Anyhow.
Yes.
Continue.
Yes. So suddenly I'm thinking, yeah, perhaps Mark's on something. hey, Wesley Fofana scored a, you know, the centre backs from set pieces doing quite well this season. But no, Chelsea's interest may come as a surprise that they're still sort of thinking about him because they've got so many players back there. But they're going to think about selling players this summer, and you cannot ignore a player of this quality, a guy that they came very close to signing last summer. They put it on hold, looked at it again in January. Perhaps they're sort of feeling some sense of regret that they didn't get the deal done last summer before the World Cup, where, of course, Gvardiol absolutely shone. Nothing will surprise me anymore with these new owners, because one thing, you can label many things at them, but a lack of ambition and a lack of intent in the transfer market is not one of them.
Just before we bring Paul in and talk about other clubs as well, but one of the reasons that this was assumed to have been not far off a done deal is because one of Chelsea's many recruitment experts, you can give them whichever job title you want, has Red Bull links. This is the sort of background in play.
Yeah, Christopher Vermeil, of course, is now part of the Chelsea's new management structure. And of course, it's not just about Vermeil, actually. The two clubs have done a number of deals together. Of course, they've already got a deal lined up for Nkunku, Christopher Nkunku, that will be completed this summer. But of course, Timo Werner has gone back and forth over the last couple of years. So there's a strong bond between the two clubs. But as was shown last summer, that doesn't necessarily mean that a transfer is straightforward. Chelsea went back to RB Leipzig on three occasions and got a bit frustrated that the goalposts kept moving in terms of what they were asking for. But like I said, perhaps they're regretting that they didn't actually just go ahead and get the deal done, because he's worth more than perhaps RB Leipzig were asking for at the time.
We've established with Simon that Chelsea have 27 centre-halves already, so why would they need another one? Manchester City have four, Paul, if we look at this from a City perspective. But there are certainly thoughts and rumours that maybe one or two of them may move on. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, they have five, actually, with Akanji.
Yes,
Now, Nathan Ake can be deemed as a left-back for someone because he's operating more as a full-back rather than a centre-back. But yeah, I think that it's something that is not just rumours. It's like inside City as well. They know that there are some of those centre-backs that are linked to a move, and they probably would like a move. And City have had this approach of like, right, if you don't want to stay here, feel free to go, but you have to bring us an offer. And I think that Josko Gvardiol, it's like the backup plan, not the option B, but the option just to fulfill the gap that any potential departure is going to leave. Now that you mentioned that about the five centre-backs, I can remember now last summer, and now that we have Simon here as well, when Nathan Ake was linked to a move to Chelsea, which was like a big moment in the transfer market. It all looked like Nathan Ake was going to leave to Chelsea. The name that City had at the top of their list and Chicky Bakerstein was really obsessed with was Josko Gvardiol. So the love from Man City to Josko Gvardiol is not something new. It's something that's been coming for the last, I think I've heard that name at City for the last 2 years and a half, something like that. So I would expect City to keep an eye on them, on him. But as you were saying, I think it's like a must just to have some player leave, basically, because you cannot have 28 centre-backs in your squad. even more if like they are like high standard centre-backs, just as Josko Gvardiol and the other ones that City have.
But to tie this in with Spain, is the main rumour, or with Spanish clubs, is the main rumour that Emerick Laporte might want to move to Spain?
I think that the main rumor is that Emerick Laporte would appeal a move out.
Right.
Because he has been a name that has been linked with that situation for the last two seasons, I've said. So it wouldn't come as a surprise. The thing is, Laporte has contract until 2025, if I'm not wrong. So he cannot leave for free. He has to bring an offer to the table. City has to assess it and City has to let him go. And he has to find like a project that he appeals to go, right? So that's not going to be like an easy jigsaw. But I think it's in a scenario where all the parts could see things moving too. So, yeah, as I was saying, when it happens, I think that City is a club that wants to have like their homework done before it happens. So that would be the case, I think.
Okay, he is still, of course, an RB Leipzig player. He signed a new deal that's actually supposed to keep him in Germany until 2027. So let's get the RB perspective on all of this. Here's Raf.
Josko Gvardiol has been in superb form, not just since the World Cup, but of course also going into that competition. I think people have woken up to his talent. In Leipzig, they've been calling him the Erling Haaland of centre-backs. And I think they've got a generational talent on their hands, which explains their intransigence when it comes to not selling him. He's got a release clause, but it's huge and it only kicks in next summer, not this one, which means that there might be some attempts to get him for less than 100 million or so. But Leipzig feel that they might have just done enough to price him out of the market. At least for most sides, he'll be a little bit too dear. As far as Bayern are concerned, well, they don't really need more centre-backs. They've got Lucas Hernandez coming back. Matthijs de Ligt is doing well. Upamecano is doing well. Benjamin Pavard will probably sign an extension. So that is four. So no real need on their behalf to go and raid Leipzig once again.
So the fee will be really interesting here, Simon. If you go back to last summer, Chelsea thought they'd get him for around, what, £60 million, €70 million, something like that?
Yeah, well, there were three offers, or certainly three sort of prices that were discussed, only for Chelsea to pull out. But the question is, of course, there's this release clause that kicks in 2024, as Raf explains. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Erling Haaland situation, where Chelsea made a play for Haaland a year before his sort of release clause kicked in the sort of thinking, well, it's now or never. And that's why I sort of think there's still a possibility that Chelsea go back in for him. Because the thing you have to remember, Mark, is that Thiago Silva signed a one-year extension, but he is human. Well, I think he is. And and age surely has to be a factor at some point, and he will need replacing long-term. Then, of course, there's the big temptation for the owners to raise money by selling academy players, because it would count as pure profit. So that brings in the likes of Trevor Chalobah, even though he signed a long-term deal recently. Then, of course, there's Levi Colwill, who I know they rate very highly, plays in the same position as Gvardiol. And there is an intention to give him a new deal, but you can imagine if a big offer comes in for him, that maybe they'll consider it. And of course,
he must be wondering why he would stay. Surely, with virtually every other centre half in Europe arriving at the club, look, he's a great player, and I'm sure he backs his own ability. But
yes,
it doesn't feel like a ringing endorsement in him from the club at the moment, does it?
Well, I think the signing of Benoit Badiachil certainly sent a strong message, because he's a player that's only just a year or two older than Colwill and plays in the same position. And he's actually got off to a very good start to his Chelsea career. One of the few new signings that's been made in the last two windows that has just walked in and looked at home straight away. So that is going to send a bit of a message to Colwill. But at the same time, you know, he has sort of grown up as a Chelsea player, and it is quite a call to leave that club. I think he backs himself to make an impact. He needs to sort out, you know, he needs to play a bit more consistently for Brighton, because injury hasn't helped him recently. But you can see why Chelsea might still consider Gvardiol, even though it looks on paper like they've got loads of centre-backs to choose for already.
And never have I asked one man the same question so many times in one season, which is, how they're affording this one. But presumably, you've already partly answered that with the sale of young players.
Yes, there is going to be a big clear out this summer. There needs to be anyway. There's a senior squad of over 30 players, which has been a challenge, one of the many challenges Graham Potter's faced this season. But yes, they will be selling players. Now, of course, the problem is if clubs know you're going to sell, it doesn't give you the strongest bargaining position. But this is where the sort of academy players, certainly from what I'm hearing, there's a genuine fear that within the club that some of these English guys are going to be the ones that make way, because they've still got many years left on their contract and they count as pure profit, and they will raise quite a lot of money. But you're also looking at players like Christian Pulisic, Hakim Ziyech, etc., that could be on their way.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hello there, I'm Danny Kelly, the host of the Athletic's Tottenham Hotspur podcast, The View from the Lane. Spurs may have managed to comfortably beat Nottingham Forest over the weekend, but don't put your popcorn away yet, folks. The drama is aplenty in North 17. Results have been patchy, and many fans have made up their minds that Antonio Conte needs to go. So why hasn't he been sacked yet? And if he did go, who would Spurs bring in? Our expert panel of Jack Pitbrook and James Moore come up with all the answers. So why don't you join us? Search for The View from the Lane on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
There will also be people listening, Paul, who will go, well, given the state of City and the various challenges and allegations that have been brought against them, how are they going to operate in a summer transfer market?
Yeah, basically, I guess that until charges are not converted, like in a final sentence, they are going to keep going, basically. And sources at the club, they keep, I don't know if optimistic is the word, but they are confident in how they have operated in the past. So they believe that they will be able just to keep going in the same way. So basically, I guess that Guardiola is going to fit on that plans in the same regard that he could have done like in the previous summers.
And when we look at that fee, then, does that mean, do you think, Paul, that he can only go to if he moves, he can only go to a Premier League club, that he would be out of the reach of both Barcelona and Real Madrid?
Well, Barcelona, I don't think that they can even buy like a lot of people, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think that Real Madrid's policy, I mean, for what we are hearing, for what they are saying from the club, it's not a battle that they want to be in for. I don't see them paying like a huge money fee for a center back. They are kind of not blaming, but yeah, pointing all the time to like these English clubs that play like in a different league, in a different competition in terms of like financial terms, that they don't want to be dragged into this. They've said that all along with Jude Bellingham, and I don't see anything different with Josep Guardiola. I think it's going to be the same story. It doesn't mean that Real Madrid doesn't keep an eye on him, because I think that from the club, they are going to make the right movement just to speak to certain people, just to know what's the temperature on the player's camp, if he would ever consider like a Real Madrid move. Because when you get that, I think that it's easier to make things happen when you get like the a straight desire from the player. But yeah, just for what we've heard all along, like from all sides, I think that the Premier League is the most likely destination, basically. I think that Josep Guardiola at some point is going to end up playing here because it's what he wants, for what we've heard and what we've read from quotes from him.
Are they in a situation, Real Madrid, at the moment where it could only be one big name this summer? And that, I mean, there are so many hypotheticals in this question, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But if both Guardiola and Bellingham indicated that if they were to move this summer, the place they would want to go is Real Madrid, that would be a real dilemma for the club.
But there was also like a point with Mbappe and Haaland that some sources from Real Madrid didn't dismiss the option of going for both of them. So you never know that. You never know if when they play the card of saying, yeah, we don't play in the same league than the English clubs, if they're just like posing or just faking it, or they really mean it. From my point of view, I think that the most likely outcome is just to see one of them going to Real Madrid. I think that Real Madrid hasn't paid those kind of fees for a defender ever in their history. Florentino Perez and the club, they believe that the main guys are up front and the guys who sell the t-shirts are up front. And probably they are the ones that are worth it, like world record fees, basically. But let's see what happens. I mean, you cannot dismiss any option. And as you were saying, there are a lot of hypotheticals here. But yeah, I don't see both of them going to Real Madrid.
Do Chelsea believe, Simon, as you understand it, that it's a straight fight between them and City?
No, I don't think there is as confident as that, that it's just a two-horse race. The other
Do they
thing
think that, there are other Premier League clubs that would sniff around?
Yes. I think we have to sort of put Liverpool in the conversation. Although, of course, Liverpool, you also have to throw them in the conversation with Jude Bellingham. These two players are going to be the most talked about, or two of the most talked about for this summer window, for sure. And everyone knows why. I mean, they were the two of the most outstanding young players at the World Cup. The other question about Chelsea is they've got so many other key positions they have to worry about. They're looking for a new goalkeeper. Of course, they're looking for another centre-forward because that's Chelsea, and it's been shown this season. Goals have been hard to come by. Possibly another midfielder. So you can also sort of see that entering the equation of, well, if they do go for this guy, how is that going to have a knock-on effect on their other targets? So it's nothing surprising.
And obviously, yeah, it depends on their fee. And it depends who's available, I suppose.
Yeah.
But how, realistically, how many players could they sign this summer to still fit within all the rules? Because obviously they can't do the 8-year contracts this summer.
No. UEFA have clamped down on the sort of being able to amortise the fee over more than 5 years. A loophole that Chelsea have exploited very well, you have to say. People will argue that whether it was smart business or not, but you can understand the logic behind it. From what I'm hearing, they're looking at only making sort of 3-4 signings max. It's not going to be sort of like the kind of crazy, it may even be less than that. It's not going to be the crazy transfer windows that we saw in last summer and in January. But that doesn't mean that the spending will be low. They can still go out and, in their eyes, they can still go out and spend a significant sum, and that's why they're thinking of doing Guardiola this summer rather than next year. But
you, 3 or 4 players at the level that you are talking about, I mean, you could be talking £200 million plus. Well, you probably are talking £200 million plus, aren't you? Again,
yes, for sure. Unfortunately, I'm not their accountant, Mark. I'd love to tell you how they're doing this. I do think they will, and I'm fairly confident they will raise significant sums this time. They haven't done that so far in terms of being outgoings, and I think that will be the difference this time around.
I wonder, as a final point on all of this, whether what happens in the Champions League this season affects Guardiola in particular, but maybe any more of the, you know, we always look at the race for the top four in England, don't we? And whether that will attract, whether that affects attracting players or not. But I wonder, when you're talking absolutely elite here, whether what happens in this year's Champions League will affect any decisions, or whether Guardiola, a bit like Bellingham, will be a bit more big picture, Paul?
It's going to depend, like, basically on the players. If they said they are on, like, the move of their lives, looking for a long-term project, or, yeah, on the other hand, I think it's fair to say that next season we are possibly not going to see Liverpool on the Champions League. That's a possibility. That's a possibility with Chelsea too. I don't know if Guardiola and Bellingham are players that are going to prioritise Champions League or are going to prioritise being in a club that they feel that it's good for them. It's going to be a key issue. I think that most of the elite players, they are going to want to be in the Champions League, and that the Champions League is going to be a key factor. That's why Real Madrid is still not out of the picture for Jude Bellingham. That's why Real Madrid, you cannot dismiss them for Josep Guardiola, because they will offer always the Champions League route and possibly in one of the biggest contenders that the competition will ever have. So that's something that Real Madrid is like playing on in their cards. And I think that, it's something that Liverpool and Chelsea will have to overcome for this summer, for sure.
Unless Chelsea win the Champions League, of course, Simon.
It has been known that their best chance to win the Champions League is doing rubbish in the Premier League. It's their cunning plan. But no, you'd have to say it's more unlikely than likely this season. And they will be at a disadvantage if they're out of the Champions League, for sure. But one thing that has become clear out of all the signings they've made is that they make a very convincing pitch to the players. They talk about this huge project, this ambitious project, and they win over players that way, because they are sort of talking long term and they're incredibly ambitious plans for the club, and that does help. But, you know, when you're talking about, as Paul says, sort of these great players, it is going to be quite hard to convince them, oh, this is just a 1 year sabbatical, as it were, away from the Champions League. So please put your Champions League ambitions on hold for a year and be patient with us. That's always a tough sell.
Thank you, Simon and Paul, and also Raf and Nick Miller earlier on. To enjoy the big Guardiola read in full, just subscribe today for £1.99 a month for a year at theathletic.com/footballpod. And you can hear more from Simon on The Athletic's dedicated Chelsea podcast. That's Straight Out of Cobham. Thanks for listening. We'll have another episode for you tomorrow.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.